Welcome to the Light Church Podcast. This is David Oakes, pastor of the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and I'm founder of Israel Study Tours with David Oakes and David Oakes Ministries. Thanks for joining me for this latest edition of the Light Church Podcast. Now, in the previous four podcasts, we have begun to look at the subject called The Fix. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through my mouth prophetically in December of 2005 and said that 2006 is the year for the fix. So I began to meditate under the direction of the Lord on that subject of the fix. And the Lord gave me three primary areas that would be fixed in this year. And I believe what came forth from the Word of God. Now, on the first three podcasts of this series, we actually divided one sermon that was preached at the Light Church Fellowship up into three podcasts. Last week, we began to look at the second sermon out of that series, and today we will conclude that second sermon out of that series. So we're going to join this sermon and this service in progress already at the conclusion of the sermon. I'll be back with some closing comments. We praise the Lord for you. We thank God that you've joined us again. Remember that you can reach us online at www.davidoaksministries.org. Praise the Lord for you. Be blessed as you listen to The Fix.
Okay, let's go back, if you would, please, to 1 Kings. Now we're getting a picture of the widow of Zarephath. Her name appears as the fifth of the nine widows that are spoken of in Scripture. It's marked with grace. Asher, the tribe, was the fifth lot that fell, which is the territorial place of Zidon and Zarephath, marked again by grace. Also in this area, we have the anointing, the oil, which is a type of the anointing. He's drawing a picture. Grace is here. Grace is marked on this, but not only grace, there is a stamping of the anointing of God on the outer perimeters of the territorial possessions of Israel. Amen. Stay with me, if you would, please. Let me just say this here. I believe strongly that God is painting a picture of a believer that lives on the outer perimeters of God's grace, furthest point from the very heart of what God's doing. They're out on the very extremes, but here's the good news. And we'll find out more about this widow in just a second, see how she behaves. Here's the good news. No matter how far you're out there dwelling from the center, the anointing's still out there reaching you, and grace is still out there reaching you. And God, in this hour, I'll just get to the end and put it in the middle, and we'll finish it. God, in this hour, is going to fix that all up, and you're going to see at the end of it that those people who are living on the perimeters are going to come over to the center of God's plan. That's part of the fix. Part of the fix. Those who live on the outer perimeters of God's plan are going to move into the center. The anointing's keeping them from slipping over the edge. It's out there's a hold for them. See, it wasn't unusual that she had oil left because she was living in the realm of oil. Right. Praise the Lord. As long as you got the oil, you got a way. That's the anointing. As long as you got the anointing, there's a way, even if it's just a little bitty dip in it. If you just got a little, that's enough. So let's look on. The anointing still reaches out there, but there's definitely going to be some problems when living at the greatest distance from the center of God's plan. They were living the furthest way distance from Jerusalem, which was the center of God's plan. This is the nominal Christian, the Christian that never opens the book, the Christian that, as we're going to see, lives in sin consciousness all the time, the believer who doesn't believe that God answers every prayer. I believe that God's out to get them in some way. Is not convinced when a preacher preaches that he's actually preaching God's word. That's what we're talking about, that person that lives out there. And you're going to see those characteristics in her as we go on. Turn with me to Romans, if you would, please. We went to 1 Kings again, but let's go to Romans, the 7th chapter. Romans, the 7th chapter. This passage of Scripture probably confused more people, especially those who have been divorced, than about any passage of Scripture in the Bible. Maybe we'll even make some comments on that. Chapter 7, verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. He is addressing people who have understanding of the law. He's not talking about grace now. He's getting ready to start talking about the law. He's talking to people who are living under grace who knew about the law because they came up under the law. So they had understanding of it. You know, it's like I used to be a student at OU, but I'm not any longer. But I knew what being a student at OU was like. So if you bring that up, I can say, oh yeah, I know where those buildings are. I know what took place in them, but I'm not there any longer. I've moved on from that. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I have different kinds of testings now and different kinds of postings of scores. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Now, for some reason, God sticks verse 2 and 3 right dab in the middle of this. He could, in fact, say, over a man as long as he liveth, and drop right down to verse 4 and say, you are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. But he doesn't. He sticks 2 and 3 in there for some reason. So let's go on. You know the law. So he's speaking about the law. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. This is talking about the law, not talking about grace, not talking about any of you. It's talking about those that came before Jesus. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. Remember, not talking about you, talking about before Jesus. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. Now the blood of Jesus will reach you. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. What's it talking about? It's talking about the law. And what's the law talking about? The law of marriage. But as long as this person, again, before, I'm going to keep saying that because some of you say, oh, brother, you know, some people who don't have a knowledge of the Word of God say, I'm an adulteress. No, that was before. That was before Jesus. It's not now. This is dealing with different kinds of people than what he dealt with back then. You are different than they are. I'm going to say it again. You are different under grace than they are back then. He was just talking to them as being former students under that, like I was a former student at OU. I'm not any longer. I don't get any letters from professors anymore telling me I did a good job or did a bad job. I don't get any more grades from them. I'm under a different set of rules now. Amen? Now let's read this again because I want you to see what he's saying. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So when you become a widow, all of a sudden you are loosed from the law. That's the picture we want painted for you in our study. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. So it's talking about a law. Now in line with our study over in 1 Kings, the picture that is being painted for us, this widow is a picture of the church that's living on the outer expanse of the Christian experience. They're not getting the benefits of walking in Christ. But the widow is painting a picture of one who has been loosed from the law because the law has died because Jesus came. Whole different set of rules now. But this woman wasn't walking like one who had been espoused to another. The word espoused in 2 Corinthians 11, the word espoused to another husband is the word joined. In other words, before we ever have the marriage feast of the Lamb, we have already been joined to him in marriage. We've already been joined. Mary was joined to Joseph before they ever had intercourse. She was espoused to him. Although it's two different Greek words, but she was still espoused to him. That's why he wanted to put her away. They needed a divorce because even though they hadn't come together, they were still married. I want you to get the picture. The picture is being painted that this is one who has had the law die to her, so she's become a widow. And she has been married to another. She's just not acting like it. You know, there are people in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that don't act like they've been espoused to the Master. They live in defeat every single day. And that's not God's plan. It's not God's plan that people go day after day after day after day without ever thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ, without ever opening up their book and fellowshipping with him. I say this, if I don't talk to my wife, we cease having any kind of fellowship. You got to talk. And this is how I talk to my Father through his word. And this is how he communicates to me. And he wants me to have information. Amen? Hallelujah. So you're getting the picture that's being painted. Where the other one was an unbeliever, and things are going to, with the raven, are going to get fixed, and the unbelievers are going to start giving to the body of Christ. This is those on the outer perimeters of the experience that are still being touched by the anointing of God. God's going to bring them in unconsciously, set them in order to be a blessing, glory to God, to the body of Christ. It's got to be fixed before Jesus can come back. Jesus did not come and die so people could live on the outer realms of the experience. He wanted everybody right. Now realize we're painting a picture. He wanted everybody right on the Temple Mount, right in the center of what God was doing. He wanted to bring them in, right into the center of what God was doing, his plan. And that's what's going to take place in the fix. But we're not finished yet because we're going to see how God just ties things together in the Word of God. Amen? 1 Kings 17, you got that? So it goes down through the miracle, you know, she's given to him and blessing him. We all know that. And it gets down to verse, where would be a good place? 17. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. Now I want you to notice the experience this woman's had. God has just provided for her at least a year, supernaturally, where her containers are getting filled with oil and meal, and she's providing, God is providing for her, her household, and even for the man of God that's living with her. Quite a miracle, wouldn't you agree? Quite a miracle provision. You go and dip in the container, and the next day it's back up where it was, and you dip in the container, and it just stays there. You just keep dipping, and it stays there. Keep dipping, and it just stays there. Now, I would believe that would be a miracle, and I believe it'd be something you'd noticed. I mean, that's like going and driving to Tulsa or driving to Oklahoma City and coming back and your car still being totally full of gas. And then driving to Dallas and coming back and your car still totally full. And then driving to Kansas City and coming back and it's still full. I believe after a moment or two, you would realize that this more than likely is a miracle. And what the man had said was right. Don't you? Well, those on the outer level, they don't see that. And we'll see it. And it came to pass after these things that the son of woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. In modern day, he died. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Call my sin to remembrance. Call my sin to remembrance. You're here just to blame me for my past sins and all of this. And that little sin consciousness, sister? You know what sin consciousness is? When you've done bad things in the past and you haven't realized yet that they're under the blood and Jesus has removed them and you're still conscious of them, you still bring them up and they still control your life every day. You won't make a new step because you remember, oh, I did so many bad things. Oh, I did so many bad things. I did so many bad things. I did so many bad things, and you just find yourself walking in a circle because of all the bad things you did. That's sin consciousness. I want you to remember that. Okay? When it's under the blood, it's under the blood. It's gone, it's done. I don't let the fact that I did drugs and drank way too much hold me back. That was the old guy. That's not me. I'm cleansed by the blood. I'm a brand new creature. I don't get over to the foreign field and say, I can't do this because I'm an unworthy sinner. I'm not an unworthy sinner. I, glory to God, am the righteousness of God in Christ, a brand new creature. But those who are living on the outer, who don't spend time in the Word, they live under that weight of that. All they live under day after day after day, and it makes them grumpy. It makes them bitter. It makes them so you really don't want to be around them, and they certainly don't want to be around you. And the next thing it does, it makes them so they blame the preacher. They blame the preacher. The preacher's just trying to preach the truth. The preacher's just trying to bless. My goodness, her containers kept being full, and she said, oh, you've just been mean to me. So I want you to get this. Here's the beauty of God working and dovetailing. He went in Romans chapter 7 and started talking about being released from the law of the husband. I mean, the husband died, you were the law dead, glory be unto God. You're a spouse to another right now. Then chapter 7 goes into Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans chapter 8. Hold your finger there in 1 Kings 17. Anybody besides Brian remember what Romans chapter 8 says? There is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made you free from the law of sin and death. So the story just keeps going in sequence, and we're not through yet. This is the person that's living on the ladder lamb, that is walking in sin consciousness. Things are dying all around them. Don't have to. The anointing's out there. I said the anointing's out there. Not only was the anointing out there, you notice he asked her for a drink of water. There wasn't water nowhere. Anywhere, and she turned to go get it, and on her way to getting it, he goes, wait a minute, make me a little cake also. In other words, she still had water. She had a little word out there also. Water is a type of the word. She had enough water, had enough oil to meet all of her needs. Now notice what it says back here in 1 Kings 17. Verse 18 again. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Now hold your finger there and go back with me to chapter 8 of Romans. Let's look at the sequence. The first part in chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. It's the context stays the same. I wonder, you know, you say, how could God figure this out? Well, that's God. He had chapter 7 run right into chapter 8 and down because there are spiritual principles here. Number one, we are loosed from the law. Number two, when we are loosed from the law, there is therefore now no condemnation. And when the condemnation leaves, the Spirit of resurrection will come into our life, and that which is dead will be raised up. There's a progression, a spiritual progression. We are not widows. We have been espoused to another. We have been married to the Lord Jesus Christ before the marriage lamb of the feast of the lamb ever occurred. He is my, I am I'm hooked up to him, glory to God. And because I'm hooked up to him, I'm hooked up to his life. And when his life is in me, my past doesn't hold me back. Glory to God, and my past doesn't hold me back. His life is in me, giving me strength and power. And those things that need to be resurrected are being resurrected in Jesus' name. Now, the fix. 1 Kings 17. This new to me. I like it. It's exciting when the Bible starts just to fit together and you don't run into a dead end. Just fits together because I want you to see what's going to happen in the end. Verse 23. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now." Now. That's what we're going for now.
Hallelujah.
"Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." Something happened. She came from the outer parameters of her experience, the painting showing us, into a place where she knew that the word of God was true. And in this hour of the fix, people who have been on the outer perimeters are going to come to a revelation that the word of the Lord is truth. And what God has said is what he meant. And what he meant is what he's going to do. And what he is going to do is not just something he's going to do for somebody else. He's going to do it for me. The fix is those who are on the outside who haven't been giving anything into the church as far as their strengths, their anointings, their powers. We're not just talking about giving money. We're talking about giving of lives into God. And so God can use you and mold you and shape you to what he wants you to be. That's his plan. He's got a plan, and he's setting everything in order. Not only is he setting the world in order, he's setting the church that's almost in the world in order.
Amen.
And they're going to come in, and what did she end up doing? God was able to use her to be a source for a miracle. And let me tell you something else. I preached a sermon. As a matter of fact, it's the largest download we've had, and I named the sermon "The Unnamed, the Unknown, and the Uncelebrated Sources of Miracles." And in the study, I went through the Bible and showed people that didn't even get their names mentioned, other than they were a little servant person. Their names didn't even get mentioned, but yet they were used to bring forth some of the great miracles of the Bible. It's been the single most downloaded sermon, because not everybody's going to have a name. The widow of Zarephath doesn't have a name, Judy. She's just the widow at Zarephath. But yet God pointed her out. In fact, Jesus said this. I personally believe that the widow of Zarephath was not even Jewish. Because, well, Luke 4:26, you can just write that down. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Unto any widow in Israel, he didn't send Elijah. He only sent him to one widow in Sarepta, Zarephath." And then he said, "And to all of the lepers that were in Israel, he only sent Elisha to one, and that was Naaman of Syria." I believe both of them were not even in the house of Israel, yet God went to this Gentile person. It's a picture of us, the Gentiles that have made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life.
Hallelujah.
And the anointing reached to us. Glory to God. So let's look at this again. The widow is a picture of the church that is living on the outer boundaries of their Christian experience. They are living in sin consciousness and not sure when God is present and when he's not present. They are not sure when the word is being preached and when it's not being preached. To this Christian that is living in the outer boundaries of their Christian experience, they think that the preacher is out to get them, and when things happen, it is the preacher trying to bring something bad on them. Preachers aren't out to get you. Except to get you to serve the Lord. That's about the only thing we're out to get you on. Here is the good news. In this year of the fix, reading right here, Christians who are living in the outer boundaries of their Christian experience are going to be set in order to be a blessing, and they're going to be convinced about God and His Word. 2006 is the year for the fix. This is the year for things to be put in order. This is the year for the fullness thereof to flow into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means the fullness from those that are in the body right now that just need to come closer to the main line. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Let's just read the definition of fix again, because I want you to get it. To make firm, stable, or stationary. To give a permanent or final form to. I like that. To change into a stable compound. Oh, brother, the body of Christ becoming stable. Even those on the outer perimeter becoming stable. So that God can put a little pressure on them, put a little weight on them, put a little duty on them, and they'll just stay stable and get it done. Hallelujah. To set or place definitely, to establish. People on the outer perimeters are going to be established, glory to God. To set in order, to adjust, little adjustments that need to be made, to get ready, to prepare, to repair, to mend. Oh, in this hour of the fix, that means people who are on the outside are going to get mended and repaired. If you're burdened down with sin consciousness, you need to have some things mended in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To repair, mend, to restore, and to cure. I like it. 2006 is the year for the fix. The first one we looked at was the raven. God set in order the raven, which is a picture of the world, and God setting in order the world to bring the wealth into the body of Christ. The second thing are those in the outer perimeters of the Christian experience. God's fixing them. Hallelujah. And He's going to set them in order, praise the Lord, to use them the way He needs them used. These are things we need to confess. That way you won't get down. Say, I wish so-and-so would do better. Or more than likely it comes out, I wish so-and-so would get their act together. No, you just say, this is the year for the fix. So-and-so's getting fixed.
Praise the Lord. You have been listening to the Light Church Podcast with Pastor David Oakes. We have just concluded the second sermon from the series, The Fix. Now join us next time as we begin the third sermon from this very timely series of teaching. Also remember, join us at www.davidoaksministries.org and tell a friend if you would please. We want to see more people being blessed by this podcast. We love you and we are praying for you, and those just aren't empty Christian words. We are actually praying for those who are listening to us, and we want you to continue to be blessed in the name of Jesus. Now, no matter where you're at in the world, find you a good church to go to that teaches the uncompromised Word of God, a church that believes in laying on hands, a church that believes in God healing the sick, a church that believes in the baptism with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, and hook yourself up to that church and commit yourself to being faithful to that pastor and that congregation, because church just isn't a part-time thing. You should be full-time churchgoers in the name of Jesus. If you're in the Oklahoma area, drive in and see us, glory be unto God. We'd love to have you join one of our services at 1244 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. But we'll see you next time. Be blessed. In the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bye-bye for now.